Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are about to start a conversation with Misha Webley, who is the writer and director of a new film called The Kill Hole, a new war drama about the impact of post-traumatic stress disorder on soldiers. But unlike most soldiers, it focuses on two African-American soldiers, which you don't see often in the cinema. This is a movie that's coming out soon. It will be available at Walmart and other stores. And Misha Webley, welcome. Good to have you with us. We got Misha on the line there?
Yeah, this is Misha.
Hi, Misha. Welcome. Good to have you. Good to have you with us. Did you say
Thank
Misha?
You. Good to be here.
So how do you pronounce your first name? Mishi?
It's Misha.
Misha, that's what I thought. Yeah, Misha. So, and welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks.
So this film, and we're going to play a couple of clips from the film as we go through our conversation. But I was really taken by the film. I mean, the cinematography in this film and the acting was just incredible.
Go ahead. It was I was surrounded by some very talented people, including our actors. They really gave some great performances.
So talk about how this film came to being. I mean, this is one of the things that struck me again, as I said, that I was so taken by, is that when you see films about post-traumatic stress and its effect on our warriors, on our soldiers, our Marines, it often centers on the lives of white soldiers, which is why...
Yeah, definitely. you know, and that was something I was really aware of going into it, and... You know, I've seen a lot of films come out, especially in the last 5-10 years, that that deal with the military, and you rarely see, you know, black or brown soldiers in there, even though blacks and Latinos make up, you know, the majority of the military. So it always seemed to be a little imbalanced. So I wanted to tell it from a little bit from that perspective.
One of the things about this, the piece that you did here, which also interesting in that regard, is that even though the two main characters, in this film, the protagonists in this movie, were both African American Marine veterans from the Iraq Wars, it was not centered on their being black, but on their being soldiers who are black, which I thought was a really interesting nuanced difference.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a place for a film that's looking specifically from a black perspective. And to me, you know, I was trying to tell a more universal story. It's just about people and about soldiers that I think anybody could relate to, especially if they've gone through that experience. So it's barely mentioned. And one thing that was interesting during the casting process, a lot of the actors that I talked to when we were looking for those roles, they were all really expressed to me that they were just really happy to read a different kind of role than they're used to, because in Hollywood, at least, it's black actors tend to get typecast very easily as, you know, gangbangers or thugs or pimps and that sort of thing, and they are just really happy to have something a little meatier.
So, and talk about the actors you chose for this film.
Chadwick Boseman and Tori Kittles, both really, really talented, really really weighty actors. They brought a lot of presence to the screen, and the casting process was interesting in that we saw a lot of different actors for both those roles. Once we met Chadwick, he was a shoo-in. You know, he just has it, and he really understood the role, you know, in a way we were looking for. And the same goes for Tori. And Tori wasn't actually able to audition for us. He was out of town. And unable to be seen, but he was really interested in the role, really liked the script. So he called me a few times. We ended up having some conversations on the phone and then on Skype. And through that process, you know, I was able to really see that he had a read on the character that was what I was looking for. We hadn't been able to find the right actor for it, and he sort of understood the depth of that character. And so we ended up casting him blind, which was a little bit nerve-wracking, but it all worked out. You know, once we got in front of the camera, it was all good.
And getting somebody, this is, I thought it was almost serendipity for you, in some ways, to have casted Chadwick Boseman as the as lieutenant in this film, because then he went on, now newly released, as a star of 42, playing Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely.
That can't help you. That can't hurt your film.
Oh, it definitely doesn't hurt at all. No, No, it's a good thing, and I'm really happy for him. He's both those guys really are doing big things and are going on to better, bigger and better things.
Yeah, incredible acting. The acting just kind of blew me away, and I think that when you look at the Lieutenant Samuel Drake, that character, and knowing that just that Chadwick Boseman, who plays the character, is an incredible stage actor. I mean, he brings this power to the screen. They both do, really.
Yeah, and they both do have a stage background, and I think that really translates really well onto screen.
So tell me, and you also made an interesting choice in we're going to take a little break here. We'll come back. Don't go away. We're going to continue our conversation with Misha Webley about his new book, The Kill Hole, tell you how you can find it in the stores, but right now we're going to tell you how you can find it someplace else. Don't go away. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are here with Misha Webley, who is the writer and director of Kill Hole, a new drama about the impact of war and post-traumatic stress on our soldiers. It's a story of two men, Marines, African-American Marines. It's an intense story that involves the CIA, the corporatization of the military, and more. And a shot in Portland, which is your home, right, Misha?
Yeah, it's my hometown.
So I can't. Who shot this movie?
Who shot it?
Yeah, who's the cinematographer?
Eric Billman. He's based in New York.
Unbelievable.
Really, really, really good guy. Really great cinematographer. He's a friend. He's a good guy to work with.
So tell me how you make a movie like this. I mean, this is an hour and 42-minute movie. I mean, it's a movie that is professional. It's a real movie. I mean, it's not like some amateurs wanted to stick together and make a movie. You made a serious film. So how does that happen?
Well, you know, it all starts in the script, really. A lot of it was, you know, once I had the screenplay in order, I was able to partner with the production company, my producer, Zach Hagen, with Alternate Ending Studios, and they backed the film. Now, we weren't working with very much money. We were still on a pretty low budget, but we all knew it was a pretty ambitious piece, especially for a first film. This is my first feature film. But we really wanted to, you know, make a splash and really go all the way with it. So, you know, our motto was always go big or go home, you know. So we figured, you know, why not make the movie look like we shot it for $5 million when we really did it. And so, you know, the short answer to your question, how do you do it, is you find really talented people and you surround yourself with them. And, you know, through that talent and through their passion, you know, you make it happen. But, you know, no movie happens easily. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of people coming together and collaborating. It takes a lot of, you know, I like to say you sort of have to will the movie into existence. You know, sometimes you have to beat it into existence. But, you know, we stuck with it about 4 years in right now. And I'm happy we did. I'm really happy with how it turned out.
One of the things, again, we talked for a second about in the beginning, the scenes where the vets are gathering and talking. You made a choice by casting real vets of the war. Talking about their lives. That was a very risky, because these weren't professional actors, but a kind of very powerful decision. Talk about that, what you did there.
Yeah, it was, you know, beginning when I was writing the script, you know, I don't have a military background, and in some ways I was sensitive to that fact. I, you know, I knew that I was looking into a subject that I didn't have firsthand experience in, and I just wanted to be, I was looking for a way to sort of ground the film in something authentic, you know. And so beginning in the script, I wanted to do that. And that sounds a lot easier said than done, you know. So it's something that I think kept some of my producers up at night when we were planning for those scenes. We cast a group of vets in the Portland area and got to set. But like you said, it is sort of risky because they're non-professional actors, because in this case we weren't dealing with a script, and I didn't tell anybody at the time. I didn't really have a plan, you know, how to get these guys talking. what really happened? What I give a lot of credit to Billy Zane. He played the moderator of that group, and on the day that we were shooting, you know, he really connected to these guys. He really started talking to them, and they really warmed up to him. And through that, started opening up and started talking. And he was, you know, he was prodding them. He was prodding them to be more personal, to get a little bit below the surface. And once one of those guys did, and was able to, you know, just sort of spill some of what he had inside, that sort of opened up the room, and everybody started sharing. And over 2 days, we shot those scenes. We only see a few minutes in the film, but that was 2 days worth of material. And you know, it was intense. It was powerful. It was and it was the second and third day of our shoot, so it was a pretty intense way to start out the shoot. But it really, you know, the whole crew was moved by it, and I think that really gave a lot of momentum for everybody, knowing that we were, you know, we sort of had to live up to that standard. We had to do that just, you know, that experience just as shooting the rest of the film. And so that sort of, you know, that came through in everything else that we did there. But yeah, it was powerful stuff, and it actually turned out really well. But it was emotional. You know, there was a lot of tears in it by the end of that day.
I'm sure. Those were very powerful scenes, and very real for anybody who's ever experienced that or has gone through that with a vet. Let me play a clip from this film. This is actually between the two main characters, explaining what a kill hole is. One of the characters is a Marine sniper who is living alone in the mountains, confronted by the other one. We won't tell you all that. That's part of the plot. You got to see the movie to get it all. But let's play this scene.
What's that?
That, my friend, is a kill hole. There was a native people in the Southwest, Membre, tribal potters, made the most beautiful, perfect pots there were. But before they died, they killed their pots. Cut a hole in the center of each one. The hole released the spirit of the clay so we could join them in the next world.
Kill their pots. Looks to me like you drew a big circle on some paper.
That circle, that space there, that hole, that's the mystery. That's the place that was there before the words were. That's where they come from. That's where they go. It's where everything falls out. It's where you and I go when we're done here.
And that, first of all, man, that doesn't get into the intensity of that situation between those two men, these two characters, which is just unbelievable. The plot of this thing being one ex-Marine who had done something he regrets deeply in Iraq, trying to find another Marine who had seen it, who was a sniper, and it just unbelievably tense between the two, and incredible acting between just these two men. But it's also that the score, man. This is the score in this flick was pretty good. I mean, not pretty good. It was really good.
Yeah, it was. That was done by a guy named Jason Wells. He's a musician here in Portland, and a good friend of mine too. It really brought it another level to the film. You know, we had seen it. I'd seen it so many times in, you know, the rough cut stage before we had final music. And once he was able to bring his music in, it gelled it all together. And it's a beautiful score. I really, really like listening to it.
So now, to distribute this film, you're not doing it in theaters, right? You're doing it through places like Walmart.
Both. We in March, we were in a limited theatrical release in New York, L.A., and Portland, and that went on for 2 weeks. And as of today, actually, the movie is released on DVD and on iTunes, so you can find it on Walmart, Target, Redbox, on DVD. You can also find it online, on iTunes, on Amazon, and soon after it'll be everywhere else, on Netflix and elsewhere.
So, and you've taken this is a sojourn you've taken to become a filmmaker, because you're actually a cab driver and a writer who left in the film, right?
Yeah. When I first started writing the film, I was driving a cab. I did that for a while, and I'll tell you what, that's a job that stays with you. It gives you stories for life.
Yes, it does. So yes, it does. I've been there myself in the past.
About it.
Yes, it does. So many wild things go on in your cab when you drive it.
too many Wild things. It's the most interesting job I ever had, but it was too interesting.
Well, we're going to take a short break here. Misha Webley is with us. We're talking about his film, Kill Hole. It comes out, when is it distributed? It starts next week, right?
Starts today. It's available today.
Today's the day. You can find it at Walmart and other locations. The Kill Hole. We're talking with Misha Webley, who wrote it and directed it. We're going to come back and finish our conversation with him and take this brief break to come back and talk about something else. Don't go away. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I'm here with Misha Webley, who is the writer and director of the film Kill Hole, which is being released today for distribution, a new drama about men who went through war and what happens when they come home. And let's play a quick scene. This is a scene, we won't give you too much around it, but it has to do with the men who hired one of the people to do some killing they didn't want to do, but just get a sense of the intensity of this moment.
Why don't you tell me what happened out there?
I don't want anything to do with you.
Where is he?
I'm not killing anyone for you.
That is the problem here.
Too late, Drake.
That's right. Too f***ing late. Get the can. Beautiful method here you developed, Drake. You remember this, don't you? Karma does travel internationally. I thought everyone knew that. You can't run from it. It beats you wherever you go.
Well, that was another clip. We'll play one more before we get out of here as well. Because this movie goes between poetry and intensity and dialogue. I mean, but this is part of the, I guess, inside of you, Misha, it feels like a short story writer or a novelist.
It's funny you say that. You know, I spent a lot of my early years, starting when I was in grade school, writing short stories. That's how I got my start. And so I've been doing that since I was 9. And it was sort of a transition eventually into screenwriting.
Because it's the way, I mean, there are some scenes, we'll try to get into one here before we have to go, which is, but the scene where you, they kind of, almost, how can I put this? It was that one of the characters, I think it was not Drake, it was the other character, Tony Kittle's character, Sergeant Devon Carter, is talking about intelligence and nature.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you want to pull out this kind of Taoist thing comes through it.
Yeah, definitely. That was a big part of the film going through. There's like a spiritual thread for that character, and a lot of the whole movie, I was really kind of interested in seeing, you know, to seeing it's not just a serious drama about PTSD. It's not just a thriller. It's also this poetry to it, and blending all those, this sort of genre blending, was something I was really interested in. And Carter's on sort of that trip. He's up on the mountain. He's alone, and he's sort of meditating in a lot of ways, even though he has this very cold and violent side to him. He has a sort of clarity about him, too.
So, and so these characters came from where for you?
That's a good question. You know, there's no easy answer. Is the truth. You know, you sort of get a seed of a character, and they start writing themselves. That's really how it works. And so I just listen. Is how the process goes, and they speak to me, and they start kind of forming in front of me, and that's what I put down on paper. So you know, I'm not sure where they come from. But my wife would tell you there's a lot of characters in the head.
But it's also these characters, especially the vets. I think one of the things you captured here in this film is that is what veterans go through, how difficult it is to talk about, what they talk about together in those groups. Even with the two main characters, when they get to with one another, it's only the kind of thing that, that men who have seen that kind of violence, now women, of course, in combat, can feel and say. Now, yeah. You're not a veteran, right?
No, I'm not. That was one of the things that's I think is important when you're doing when you're writing, especially when you're writing characters. I think the main quality to cultivate is empathy, and trying to literally feel, trying to get inside the head of other people, and trying to understand where they're coming from. And so when I'm writing a character, especially something that's so far removed from my reality, like being in war, I'm doing everything I can to research the subject, because I read a lot of war memoirs, a lot of firsthand accounts. I talked to a lot of veterans that I know, and just try to really get inside that experience, and then put that in my own words, is how that works. So I take that as a good thing if that's what's coming off.
It came off very real and very true to life, I thought.
Thank you.
I really do think so. I love you're a good writer. Let's play this other clip. I think this is about this. This may be a clip. We'll see which one comes up, and whatever comes up, we can talk about it for a couple of minutes. This may be a clip with Tony Kittles when he leaves the mountains and goes into the city. Let's see what happens.
I was inspired by all your tales of loneliness out here on the streets. Inspired enough to find out for myself. So it's no surprise to tell you how lonely I am. I don't mind telling you that. I'll tell you too how scared I was my first night out here. How fear is the only thing you can see in the city at night. Screaming, the dirt, the hunger, the jackals, sick with blood, a sickness no army could destroy.
So that's some of the lines you give your characters, especially both Chadwick Boseman's character, Lieutenant Samuel Drake, and especially Tori Kittle's character, Devon Carter, who was right there, who was the sniper. I mean, you put poetry in their mouths. You put poetry in their souls. Poetry in the way they kind of deliver their lines. You met a conscious decision on your part.
Yeah, it was. Like I was saying, with this project, and with those characters in particular. We've all seen the character of, say, a soldier who's hardened and he's violent, he kills or whatever, or someone maybe that's just troubled and we've seen a lot of caricatures of those things.
Right.
And I was really interested in going deeper and trying to, because that's how humans are. We're complex. We're never one thing or the other. We're a lot of things at once. And so in this film, with the character, and also just in the film in general, seeing the juxtaposition of beauty and poetry that you feel when you're with Carter, that you see in the cinematography in the mountains, juxtaposing that with this kind of violence and this darkness was something I was really interested in, because that's how the world is, and that's sort of the beauty of the world, is that all those things exist at the same time. And so I was trying to capture that in. And I think Carter's character captures that, and expresses that in a really powerful way.
Yeah, and the relationship between these two characters, I mean, who are set out to, you almost think to harm one another, but it's they develop this bond.
Yeah, they do, and for one, I mean, just their chemistry as actors on screen,
yes,
is incredible. And also that was something that really struck me talking to a lot of vets and talking to the guys that we shot in the film, that's the one thing that every single guy that I talked to in war said was, they're not fighting to stay alive. They're not fighting for their, at the end of the day, they're not even fighting for their country. They're fighting to protect their brothers. They're fighting to protect the people in their unit. And that doesn't go away. It's very strong. And in the film, in a lot of ways, these are two guys who are totally isolated, don't really have anybody else. And even though they're sort of pitted against each other, I think they find a commonality, and they find a way to relate to each other, and sort of, so it does form that bond, and they're friends, you know. And they're by the end of the film, they're friends.
And that is very real when it comes to anybody, all veterans in war. That it comes down to the man next to you, not the war
right.
itself. So you've captured it all, man. I'm looking forward to the next work you do, Misha Webley, looking forward to what you bring next. And the movie is called Kill Hole. It's an amazing flick, please just download it, watch it. You don't want to miss it. The man is a rising young director, and he's going to do more things. Misha, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Take care. We'll be in touch. We're going to take a brief break and come right back. Don't go away.